Finally, we come to my number two man. His name, number two.
Carter Hawkins.
Appreciate you guys having me. And I want to say, listen to the intro there, I'm pretty excited about the Austin Powers comment there that you guys got rocking. That's 3 years in the making. I'm surprised it just came out. So, good stuff.
Well, our guys don't miss a beat. They've got stuff for you.
I know, but 3 years to get to that? I mean, come on. Like, that was a layup a year and a half ago.
No, it's true. It's true. Thank you for playing along. That's what makes it work.
Yeah, I would not call Jed impulsive by any means, but eager, maybe. He's probably a little more eager, I guess. And it's good. You know, there's a little yin and a yang. You know, for every Dr. Evil, there's a number two. So, worked out all right.
Look at that, a callback. That is great.
You're welcome.
We've all had our fun with Carter Hawkins on the air. He was on the Score airwaves today. And Speegs jumped into the group chat and was like, I got to listen to the whole thing. What were you listening for?
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like when I read the text.
So I wasn't trying to say, look, I've got to listen to the whole thing. But did it seem like I had attitude as I was saying it, Lawrence? Let's talk. Let's have a real partnership moment here.
It seemed like you really wanted to get into it, that you were looking for something.
Well,
what were you looking for?
I just feel it's interesting. It's an interesting read. I feel like Carter sometimes will tell you a little more just because of his nature. I don't want to say this part out loud, but I guess I will. He tries to say less, but he's more open. When you talk to him off the air, I think he's a little more open. And he also, like, he kind of wants you to know that he knows. You know what I mean? As we think about the psychology, because he is the number two, he wants you to know. And some of that will creep out and let you in a little bit if you hear stuff. That's part of my little psychological breakdown on Carter.
That's not, I mean, I look forward to I love trying to figure people out that we talk to and, so, like, what they're about. So, like, in the subterfuge aspect of his job, sometimes it still comes through.
Yes, it still comes through. And sometimes it's actually direct correlations, but sometimes it's also tone.
No, I mean, obviously, I jest very hard there.
See, sometimes he jests very hard. I've never heard anybody say, surely you jest. But the other way around, like, come at it semantically on the front, on the back, whatever it is. But anyway, so you tell me what you hear. At one point, they talk about third base, and they talk about some of the options.
The rap group?
No, man.
Oh.
That would be cool.
The gas face?
That would be awesome.
The man who brought Nas to our attention?
Didn't third base leave a nasty voicemail for the Beastie Boys, and then the Beasties put it on an album?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I think it's on. It's either on Paul's Boutique. I think it's on Paul's Boutique. They played the third base voicemail on the album itself.
I mean, Search gave us Nas and MF Doom, though, so...
That's pretty strong.
It's pretty strong.
Search is one of the dudes from third base.
And the Prime Minister, Pete Nice, who's a huge baseball fan and got in trouble for being a huge baseball fan.
Wow, did he gamble?
I think there was some selling of memorabilia-type thing... But he's like a baseball historian.
Wow.
But there was also some malfeasance.
Efforting Prime Minister Pete Nice. Put it in the Slack, Alex.
Yeah, done. Yeah, you got to put it because Ray is like in there and he'd do it. Yeah. Like that's someone that Ray knows. So he'd do that.
Alex, congrats on the gig, but stop slacking on the Slack. But when he brings up third base and talks about Professor Pete Nice. Is that the name, Tanny?
That's Prime Minister.
Damn it, I was close. Professor, what's another name for pirate treasure? That's what I was thinking.
So listen to this. If you go to his Wikipedia page, Peter J.
Somebody's
Nash.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
I am, CM Punk. By the way, if you have not seen Punk being introduced in Saudi Arabia, it will give you chills if you love the band in Living Color. Or Living Color.
All right, noted.
Yeah,
noted.
Because the whole crowd sang the whole song.
All right.
It was amazing.
Do I go back to Carter? Or are we still in the parenthetical of the Wikipedia?
We're in the parenthetical here.
Okay.
Prime Minister Pete Nice, or simply Pete Nice, is an American baseball historian and author, member of the Society for American baseball research. So he's a Sabre guy.
He's a Sabre guy.
Yeah, definitely put him on the list.
Seriously.
Because I have all sorts of stuff that I want to talk to him.
Get him before they get him on that hit and run show.
I know. That sounds like an absolute lock for hit and run or a House of L. So, you know, when Lawrence and I fight over guests, the natural thing is to then put them here.
So that makes sense.
That's what we'll do.
It's a good compromise, you know?
I think so. Put him here on the A show. I like, by the way, the parenthetical as the name of something, and it should be on the parenthetical.
It's actually a good name for a podcast.
It really is. And the parenthetical can just be stuff that came up parenthetically on this show.
Yep. That should be Alex's podcast where he talks about the show.
Alex, get on that. People want to hear that.
What goes in the Slack?
No. Podcast ideas do not go in the Slack. A lot of things go in the Slack. That's not one of them.
Recipes? Do recipes go in there?
Only jokes. If you want to.
Jokes? All right. So Carter Hawkins with Mully and Haw talking about the third base situation and talking about Matt Shaw. Here he goes.
I mean, he's definitely helping us win baseball games on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. And offensively, there's glimmers where, you know, you can see, you know, he's got some natural bat the ball. He's got some natural power the other way. And it's just a really, really difficult job to hit in the major leagues. And you see it with a lot of the guys that have come up, you know, in recent draft classes. There is a massive adjustment period, and he's going through that. And the decision we're going to have to make is whether we, you know, continue to go through that adjustment period if he doesn't come out of it here soon. But I do think he's making progress. He started to hit the ball a little bit harder the last few series, and I think because of the way he's played defense, that's definitely allowed him to have more opportunities offensively. He saw the same thing with Pete last year. His ability to play defense allowed him to have more opportunities offensively and allowed him to make the adjustments to be the productive hitter that he is. So I think we're playing that same play here, and hopefully it works out for everybody.
I think that is extremely honest from Carter Hawkins.
I do, too. That's very telling. And I imagine because the Cubs usually they don't play games where guys are speaking in front of microphones and they haven't said that to the player. So I imagine that Carter or Craig or Jed or combination have told Shaw that, hey, the only thing that's keeping you here is your glove right now.
Your defense is keeping you here and giving you an opportunity. He said we've seen glimmers of him being able to do stuff. He said he is hitting the ball a little bit harder these last two series. He had two doubles in a game in Houston. They were both down the line, and they were like, you know, babip. They were like 3 or 4 feet from being regular groundouts to third base, you know? But so, and that's so far, he says, like, so far, and that's what we're doing at this point.
I think your read on it is dead solid, man. Like, he's letting you know.
He's letting you know.
They're seeing some of the same things that everyone else is seeing with Shaw at the plate.
So add this to the fact that we heard they've scouted Ke'Bryan Hayes in Pittsburgh, that Eugenio Suarez is out there, that Ryan McMahon has long been rumored, that Alex Bregman might be traded from the Red Sox if they decide to fully be a seller, because they're having an interesting volatile season, and Bregman's going to opt out probably after 1 year. If he doesn't, you're on the hook for another $25 million for next year. But he might opt out. Can you imagine a trade for Alex Bregman?
Get the guy that you wanted in the offseason.
Yeah, how good would... So, look, Cubs are extremely active on the third base trade market, and you just heard, I think, the reason why, how they actually feel about Matt Shaw right now.
Well, they've been giving him every opportunity.
You bet.
To try and make this work, and they sent him down to the minors, and I think we all were a little sheepish about what happened in the minors, because it wasn't until the last couple of days in the minors that the adjustments that the Cubs clearly wanted him to make were being seen. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, that doesn't seem like a lot of time.
And even that process was transparent. I mean, Masada wrote about the whole damn thing. Shaw copped to the whole thing, that it was until the final couple days.
I really want Suarez just because I need Pat saying his name 4 times a game.
Eugenio Suarez.
I need it. I need it in my life.
And he hits crazy amounts of bombs.
Yeah, there's that part, too.
And he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yep.
So, that's a dream target. I agree, that's a dream target. All right, here's another one. He was asked, was Carter Hawkins, about starting pitching depth. He shared some news on Javier Assad, which was that they're targeting August ends September for Javier Assad for this difficult oblique injury. And then he was asked about Jordan Wicks, who's back pitching at Iowa and has had some success in AAA. And in Iowa, he's expressed his desire to get back to the big league club. Listen to Carter Hawkins give you some honest assessment of Jordan Wicks right now.
If you're a starting pitcher and you got a pulse and you're in AAA right now, you know, you're factor in to the plan, that's for sure. You know, you see how quickly things can change around the league where, you know, guys start going down, not just for arm injuries, but for, you know, for things that you necessarily wouldn't have planned for. So, you know, Jordan is absolutely somebody that is well on our radar and that we're talking about, you know, on a daily basis. To your point, he's had a couple setbacks from an injury perspective, from a performance step perspective, and has taken accountability for those. And just, you know,
Oh, we lose Carter Hawkins?
Well, no, we just lost the sound.
We've been having some issues this entire segment trying to make it, trying to keep it afloat here.
The only thing that we didn't get to...
The front part, I did. Yeah, that was the point of it, right?
No, that's okay.
No, we got what we needed out of that bite because if you're him, you're like, oh, so I just have to have heartbeat, huh?
I just have to have a pulse? Yeah, he said... Well, if you've got a pulse, we're aware of you.
We're interested,
right? So Carter can give you some stuff like that. And he also says a couple setbacks from an injury perspective and a performance perspective.
Yeah.
And what he went on to say, which was chopped off, is that he's got to get that change up back to where it was a couple years ago. Because that was the thing with Wicks, is the change up was so good it made everything else play up. And if the changeup isn't good like that, then nothing else plays up and he gets hit around. So I don't know what the hell's going on with Jordan Wicks' changeup and what had happened, but he's accountable also, lets you know that there's some issues that they've had with him and they've had to ask him to be accountable, and he has been. Carter tells you stuff.
Okay, so let me ask the show this question.
Okay.
Have we now identified the Cubs bad guy?
In Carter Hawkins?
In the good guy, bad guy, the good cop, bad cop, have we now identified Carter Hawkins as bad cop?
Who's the black cop?
Quinn Berry. It's easy.
Is Julian Green still with the organization?
Yeah, also black cop.
Yeah. Is Jose Javier black, the first base coach?
I mean, yes, but we would have to really start to have a larger conversation.
We don't have time
about what is black.
See what happens, folks, when we can't drive the content with the audio.
We need the ombudsman.
We would then have to go into a whole conversation about the diaspora.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah, no, we don't want
that. It's funny. I actually got into that conversation with my parents this weekend as it pertains to Sammy Sosa.
Coming up next on the Parenthetical.
Yeah, exactly. It was good stuff.
Like I bet it was.
We were talking because my mom had asked about the skin lightening thing.
Yeah.
And then we had a whole conversation about colorism in the Dominican Republic. And then
interesting.
Obviously, like the schism between Haiti and the Dominican Republic, even though those two different countries clearly come from the same enslaved people who were brought to that island.
And yet there's still a divide there.
There's a major divide there.
Salute.
There's all sorts of stuff. So it was actually a great conversation. That was baseball
adjacent.
Yeah, it was baseball adjacent.
End parentheses. So I think Carter might be the bad cop. I think that's a pretty good guess and good read by you. And it shows you what they think of Jordan Wicks. They'll use him, and they're noticing him, but we'll see. All right, and the last
you're
one.
You're a pitcher, and you got a pulse, and you're in AAA right now. You know, you're factor in.
Yeah. All right, so we got sound back, so that's good.
Yeah.
Why don't we hear what he had to say about Cade Horton, because that, too, is interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And this is... there's a little more nuance to this one, so I want to save it for last. Here's the question about Cade Horton to Carter Hawkins on whether there's going to be an innings limit for this young pitcher.
I mean, I think it's definitely something you talk about, and it's definitely something you plan deliberately for. I think where teams get in trouble, where I've gotten in trouble in the past, is when you're solving for the rest. What I mean by that is, you know, I've early in my career, shut a pitcher down in the minor leagues because basically said, hey, this guy can only have this many innings pitched. And sure enough, he didn't get hurt that year, but he got hurt the next year. And there's no real answer as to exactly when you should shut a player down or exactly when you should shorten him up. But I think we all can agree that increased workload increases your chances of injury. And so you try to mitigate that and you track all of the things that a pitcher does, you know, from what he does when he, you know, gets to the ballpark to when he leaves that night in terms of the workload he's put on his body. And you know, that's something that we're tracking with Cade, and it's something that we track with all of our guys. And, you know, we want to make sure, to your point, that we are, you know, both utilizing him to win games now, but making sure that he and others are available, you know, when we get to some of these bigger games later in the year.
So that's the global sort of strategic one. Here's the specifics on Cade.
I think with Cade, you know, first off, just been really impressed by his ability to compete, you know, at the major league level, to come up here and, you know, be on some of the biggest stages and stay composed and be able to maintain his stuff. You know, I think aside from that, there's, you know, the reality that he has not thrown this many innings over the course of his career. And while there's certainly not going to be an innings limit for Cade, we definitely want to make sure that, you know, we're mitigating any risks of him regressing from a workload standpoint. So it's something we'll be monitoring and are monitoring, and, you know, we'll think about creative ways to try to get him and all of our guys some rest. You know, it's just a long, long season, and, you know, whether it's Cade or whether it's a guy that's been around for 15, 20 years, or not 20, but 15, you know, we got to make sure that that we're giving these guys the rest they deserve, and, you know, that helps them be fresh in September and October.
I kind of like in that first cut where Carter is talking about, look, I have some anecdotal evidence of us shutting down a guy because we're like, oh, we can't pitch this guy anymore. He's going to get hurt. And then in the subsequent season, that person getting hurt. I like that any baseball team is willing to look at, here's the stuff that we've tried, and I'm not so certain that it was correct.
Yeah, man, I do like that. And I like that Carter is probably the guy saying, throw him.
Yeah.
Let him throw. Let him throw, because we need him right now.
And we need to know stuff. And we're only going to know stuff if we continue to let him pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are all the things of, like, learning what the strengths are, where he can get better, the adding of pitches, the subtraction of pitches to make him the most effective pitcher that he can be.
Yes, I hear that, but I think it's more about right the hell now and this win now window that they're in. I feel like it's go time to compete. Use your asset for all that it's worth. And that means Cade Horton, go out there, throw innings, buddy. We need you. We need you. We got to lean on you. We can't baby you because of what we need as a team.
We can't baby you because we had 2 months where we didn't have Shota, and we have a whole year where we don't have Justin Steele. Someone's got to pick up the ball.
And here's the other reality that I think it speaks to. Cade Horton is not an elite top and ace caliber prospect. He's not.
He's a middle of the rotation guy.
Maybe he could be a two. That'd be awesome. Or if he's going to be a three, that's great. That's great.
Very valuable. You can make hundreds of millions of dollars being that guy.
But this is not young Strasburg who got shut down. This is not young George Kirby in Seattle who got shut down. This is not Jacob Mizorowski in Milwaukee. This is not Skeens. This is not Chase Burns of Cincinnati, who they're going to monitor like crazy. He's not quite at that level. And I kind of realized it in talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, and he wrote a piece about projecting the futures for these great arms with their great stuff plus, these young arms in the big leagues this week. And he's got Mizorowski, he's got
just throwing 100.
He's got Chase Burns of the Reds, he's got Mick Abel of the Phillies, he's got Kumar Rocker of the Rangers.
He's been really good lately.
He's got Didier Fuentes of the Braves. He's got even Michael McGreevy of the Cardinals. He's got Noah Cameron of the Royals, Jacob Lopez of the Athletics, and no Cade Horton. Because it's not quite the kind of, oh my God, look at that arm. What do we do? It's not that kind of conundrum, you know, for Cade Horton. That's not a shot at him. It's just the reality of, I think, the way that Carter and Jed look at it. So it speaks a little truth, I think, to Cade Horton as a prospect. I got you right now. Let's use you. Go, young man. Go.
I think that's fair.
Is it a reach? You think it's a reach?
No, I actually don't think it's a reach. I'm glad that you brought this to us. And I do believe that in your text, you did say, I want to see if it speaks to me. Am I right?
That is what he said.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Are you going back to look now?
Yeah, I am. Because that sounds really arrogant.
It sounds really...
What speaks to me, I believe, was the correct phrasing.
What speaks to me?
Yeah.
Well it was Carter Hawkins. That's who was doing the speaking. So.
To me. Yeah. Well, to everybody, really.
But mostly just to you.
Gonna listen to Carter's whole hit now and see if anything speaks.
Were you looking for hidden messages?
He wants to run it backwards.
record it on a cassette and put it in my 4-track tape recorder, tape player, and see what I got, man. Oh my God, Paul McCartney is dead.
Like Carter wants me to impress Jodie Foster. What?
This Little Piggies song on Helter Skelter is all about a race war.
You got into that part of the book yet?
Yeah, I did get to that part of the Manson book. I did. It's a damn good book. It was very readable.
Starting to think there's a whole big thing now, right? Am I right? You're going to entertain that?
So, Tanny, what's the name of the book? Anyway?
Chaos, right?
Chaos, about the CIA and the conspiracy and the secret history of the 60s. And we get to the end of it. Lawrence and Tanny's review to me is like, here's what I think. I think something fishy was going on with those Manson murders. He's spot on. That's the big takeaway.
Tanny, have you ever heard Drew Michael, the comedian, and Drew Michaels' bit about the Unabomber and how he read the manifesto, and he's like, you know, there's some good ideas in here. And he says now he's the guy at parties going, hey, have you read this? You need to read this. We're not in it for anyone getting hurt, but maybe you should check it out. That's who you are now. That's you.
Oh, no. Although I would like to live in a cabin in the woods, but off the grid, I don't know if I can do quite yet.
Oh, man. You could do it.
I need to play my Xbox. I don't know. Is Xbox on the grid?
You could get it on the grid.
Yeah, it's definitely on the grid.
And then you could send, you know, mail. You could send very thoughtful letters to all sorts of people.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, put some of your favorite powders, some spices in there. Who knows?
Don't do that. Don't do that. That's a bad idea. For sure. But yes, I'm glad that it spoke to you.
It really did. It really did. And, you know, we'll see. A guy texted in and said, look, the number 52 overall prospect in baseball is not a middle of the rotation talent. That happens
all the time, sir.
All the time. And part of being high on a prospect list might be, man, this dude's durable. Or, man, this dude is really solid. I don't know if he's a superstar, but he's really solid. I mean,
sometimes number one picks don't even make it.
Sure. Correct. Jameson Taillon is what, the third pick overall?
Yes.
You know, and he is what he is, and it's a hell of a career. And you'd take that 10 times out of 10 if your child was in the MLB draft.
That's a win.
Yeah.
It's a win of a scout to have a guy that's pitching into a next decade.
Yes.
Like, that's absolutely a win.
All right. Well, I'm glad Kate Horton and Matt Shaw and Jordan Wicks could be part of what spoke to me in the Carter Hawkins piece.